Hey there, it's Weed Week, the dangers and health benefits explored on Mix 94.5, where we're having these incredible chats to learn a little bit more about medicinal cannabis. Check it out via the listener app.
Enjoy this Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast for elite pool covers, saving you water today for tomorrow.
Now, guys, we had a chat this morning before the show with Thomas Markle Jr.,
yes.
Which is Meghan Markle's half-brother.
Yes.
And, of course, he's in Celebrity Big Brother at the moment, VIP, and, well, got booted. Oops. But we were like, let's have a chat with him. Let's see what this guy's about. Find out some information. But it turned out he was in Mexico on possibly the worst phone line we've ever had.
Ever.
So conducting an interview was a little bit challenging, but we managed to get something a little meaty out of him.
Yes, yes. Well, I asked the question, and it's one of those questions, as usual, when I ask a question, we're about halfway through, you think to yourself, shut up, Matt, and get on with it. But bear with us, because it does get to a point.
Take a listen.
Thomas, I mean, none of us can ever imagine what it would be like to become part of that crazy royal family, nor to be part of the extended family involved in that. You were all of a sudden thrust into the spotlight. We know about the infamous letter that you sent calling her jaded, shallow and conceited. And I know that you've been, you know, trying to back away from that ever since. And I appreciate that we all say and do things that we wish we hadn't said. How will you continue to make amends? And do you think there's a future relationship with you and Meghan?
Well, one can hope so. I mean, you only have one family. And at some point, somebody's got to step up, plant the seed, and make amends. You know, say you're sorry. Do whatever you have to do, because you can't do anything about yesterday.
Yeah.
All I can do is about tomorrow. And I, you know, most of the fact I want to do this for my father, because he is torn up and he is hurt about this whole thing. And I want to, you know, he loves Meghan more than anything, you know. And it's the big question mark. Why is this all happening? So I hope it happens for their sake alone.
The hope to reconcile.
Yes.
And this is a tough one because, I'm from a family that we don't have any issues. I love my family. We're very close. So it's easy for me to say family first.
Yeah.
Every day of the week, it's all about family. But when just because someone's your family, it doesn't mean that they're great for you either.
No.
Some people are really toxic, whether they're your family or not. But you find yourselves, you get into these arguments or some sort of family situation, and then it's we don't talk again for 20 years.
Yeah, or the feud.
Like, yeah, and what does it take for a person to reconcile like that? It takes a fair bit to try and get in touch again.
Well, somebody's got to, at some point, swallow their pride, don't they?
Yes.
They just got to go, you know what? I'm going to be the one. I'll reach out.
Mm.
I'll call.
And they may not even be met with anything positive on the other end.
No, yeah. No. Unfortunately, in my personal situation, it took someone getting very ill. And so reconciliation did occur, but it was only just in time before the person passed away.
Which is, I guess, kind of
which
common,
is great.
You know, because it takes sometimes those moments in our lives to realise maybe what's important and things that we should have let go of, perhaps. But we're interested. Have you reconciled with a family member? Some sort of situation where it took a bit of time to heal and then you've managed to reconcile? Because I would imagine there's a lot of people with bad blood just
absolutely
holding on to it.
And coming up to Christmas too, I'm sure that comes into sharp focus if you're estranged from people.
Yeah.
And it may not even be the fact that you had to go out of your way to pick up the phone and call them. Maybe you guys were just like passing each other in a shopping centre and just went, oh, it's been 15 years. Let's get a coffee.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and then here you are.
Kate in Bedfordale, good morning. How did you reconcile?
Hello.
G'day.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How did you reconcile, Kate?
Okay, so my sister and I, we didn't speak for about 11 years.
Oh, wow.
She basically thought I was cheating with her husband, her now ex-husband. But my father passed away earlier this year over in Europe. And we started talking then. We needed to plan a funeral together over Skype, which was hard. But, we started speaking then.
Wow.
And, it was really hard, obviously, with the whole reason why we started talking. But, 11 years down the track, we are now talking. And never mentioned anything about why we stopped talking and everything.
Mm. Okay, so you're just going to leave it alone and move on?
Kind of, yeah. It's 11 years ago. She now knows that her husband was a douchebag.
Right. And
her ex-husband and realizes that I actually didn't do anything wrong.
Wow.
Okay. Wow.
So, I mean, it's great you've reconciled, but gee, it hurts, doesn't it? 11 years is a long time. Mm. Wow.
Louise in Cloverdale, thanks for calling us this morning. Reconciling with your dad after 15 years, eh?
Yeah, 15 years. It took a lot, but morning, guys, by the way.
Hi. Morning.
And Louise, what happened? Did you have to reach out first?
I did, yeah. So long story short, my mum died in a house fire, which was horrible circumstances.
Oh, sorry.
They had separated by 4 years by this time. And we ended up in a bit of a court battle, my sister, myself and my dad. He took us to court, which took 4 years. So a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, and a lot of feelings that took a long, long time to sort of die down. But yeah, eventually last year I decided after a lot of thought to reach out. So I sent him an email, which was really scary. Mm. Didn't know obviously how he was going to react. But yeah, he got back to me and he was actually really pleased that I'd got in touch. And we're now Facebook friends and tentative email here and there. But that's about it so far.
Right, so you haven't spoken to him on the phone?
No, not yet. I'm not sure I'm ready to.
Yeah, sure.
And moving forward, do you think, is that your hope, that it will eventually get back to a point of being able to sit down and have a cup of tea, or you're okay with where it's at now?
Well, he now lives in Cyprus, so I think it's very unlikely. Sure. Perhaps maybe a phone call one day. I've got kids now that he's never met, I guess for their point of view, it'd be nice.
It's tough because, you know, you think it is great if you can reconcile, and we all recognise it takes something from you to be able to do that. Mm. But I can understand that, like, a situation like that, you want to protect yourself. And if you're feeling really vulnerable and you're in a lot of pain and things are bad at the time, then sometimes it makes sense to cut people out of your life.
It does. Yeah. And unfortunately, we see that played out after someone passed away so often over the legacy and what's left over, you know.
Rachel in Baldivis, thanks for giving us a call this morning. Did you reconcile with your sibling who you had a falling out with?
Hi, good morning. Yes, it was just a peculiar story. My brother was trying for a baby, and through IVF, lots of years, and they're asking people at a last resort for egg donations, and I gave an egg because I wanted my brother to be his father so badly.
Yes.
Obviously, they did all the things so it can happen, and they had a beautiful boy, and we have strong genes in the family. It looks a lot like me, so because I needed more support than they realised, they decided to move country. And I haven't seen them for years. I do dream about them, but I did send them an email when I finally had the birth of my girl through IVF, and it took me that to understand what they went through. Mm. He still hasn't chosen to make contact, but I understand that's where he's at. And so I've had that self-reconciliation within myself that I understand where he's at. He deserves to grow as a parent, and I understand where I'm at. I need to get on with my life and my tribe now, and I do hope, because hope is the strongest emotion we can have, I believe, that we will reconcile one day, and that, you know, that'll be what will be.
Rachel, can I just ask, like, when you say you needed, they didn't realise you needed more support than what, you know, that you realised or they realised in the end there, was it because you saw this child that you say looked so much like you and you just had this, oh, my God, moment?
Yeah. Around my mental health, I have PTSD and I needed, emotional support from the family. But because they didn't want the family to know, well, the irony is people were guessing because of the genes. It got very complicated. Obviously, distance can ease that complication. Yes. I understand that. So there's been a lot of understanding, a lot of tears, and a beautiful back garden that I've chosen to
put your energy into.
put my energy in. So,
Good on you, Rachel. That sounds really tough. Yeah. But, you know, I think that, I suppose that's it, right? If one person's remaining hopeful to reconcile, then at least there's someone ready to go when the other person changes their mind.
And you know what? All you can do is say sorry. And you can't have expectations on how the other person will receive that.
Yeah.
But you've said, well, I've laid it out on the table.
Yeah.
Those are intense stories emotionally.
Yeah.
And so, look, you know, if you're listening to this and it's triggered you, as we just mentioned that the lifeline number is 13 11 14.
You need to have a chat with someone.
Absolutely. But we really appreciate Kate, Louise, Rachel all sharing those stories with us, because those are huge, far out.
Now, growing up in Beckenham/Cannington, there was a great piece of advice that I learnt, and that's if one got stopped by the police, or plod, as we used to call them, and you had something on you that you shouldn't have, you were to say, well, it wasn't yours. You say, no, it's not mine.
I tell people my name's Matt Dictinsky.
Yeah, it's not mine.
Deny.
And when asked, you know, whose is it, it was given to me by a bloke, but I've never met him before.
Yeah, he just asked me to hold it,
I don't know who he is, Your Honour. That was how you got away with having something that you shouldn't have. So this is my confessional. You know, I went and had a ride on the fantastic Westpac helicopter surf living service chopper, right?
Yes.
So I had to get to Fremantle. And so the deal was I was to use a ride share company to get to Freo and then get reimbursed from the company.
Yep.
So left it to the last minute, went to get my ride share. My credit card has expired.
Oh.
But lo and behold, there's another credit card listed on there. And I'm going, oh, I must have got the work one at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Great, I'll do that. Got my ride. Now, you know, to Freo, quite a long trip.
Right.
No one knows whose card it is.
What do you mean? You've got to type the details in.
Kimber, I know.
And it's not your wife's card.
It's not. We don't know whose credit card it is. So I got my trip, came to work the next day going, hi, look, wasn't that lucky. I had the works credit card written and entered into the phone. I don't know whose it is.
And they've gone, that's not ours.
It's not ours.
You know what you need to do?
What?
Yeah, like, what's a ride share ride? Like 10 bucks, right? 10, 15 bucks. Okay. What you need to do is you need to go out there and make a major purchase with these credit card details, like 10, 15 grand. Then they'll come out of the woodwork.
This was $60.
Oh, right.
To get to Freo from my place. And
I love that you just don't even know how it got in there, like, but you've used it anyway, so basically you're a thief.
Well, I know. I mean, I feel terrible about it, and of course I came to work ready to go, okay, look, I've done this, what do we do to fix this up? No one. It's not my family's, it's not work's.
Wow.
Well, what are you doing? That's it. There's nothing you can do, mate.
I guess not.
Like, you're a thief. You're as thief as the day is long, but there's nothing you can do.
Accidental thief.
Accidental thief.
It was a bit accidental.
It was, yes.
Like, it doesn't seem intentional.
Yeah.
And I think we've all done a bit of accidental thieving, haven't we? And we accidentally stole, like I have accidentally.
What have you accidentally stolen?
Oh, I was buying a bin, like a big plastic bin at one of the big department stores, you know, and I put other items in it so that I could carry it around the shops. And then when I scanned it, forgot some of the items inside the bin.
Oh, okay. I'm not on my own. There are other accidental thieves.
And then you feel a little bit stupid because it was probably a few dollars worth of items. And I was like, I don't know, do you go back and pay for that? If it was something significant, maybe. But like, it was a couple of bucks of, I don't even remember what it was. But I just remember going, I don't put things in the bin anymore.
People walk out of shops wearing clothes that maybe they were trying on.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Didn't mean to.
Yep.
Mari in Bankshire Grove, you're admitting you are also an accidental thief.
I am, but I've got my little one to blame. Was walking through a department store, and just as I'm looking at stuff, I'm putting things under the pram to pay for. My daughter was putting them in with her.
Ah.
So I walked out with two bras, a teddy bear, and some lollies.
Oh, and well bras that done. Don't even fit, probably.
Bras that didn't even fit. Wasn't even worth it.
Did you take everything back? Like, so do you turn around at that point and go, hey, by the way, my daughter's stolen all of this?
I didn't, because I didn't realise until I got to the car and I was actually taking her out to put her in the car
right.
that I saw all this stuff that she'd gotten.
By that stage, you've gone too far.
It's just a great day.
Yeah, if you
it just turned into a great day for you, Mari.
Cynthia in Huntingdale, your accidental thief when you were a kid.
Yes, I'm an accidental thief because when I was out shopping with my parents during the week for shopping one day, we were getting my school stuff as well, and I had all my school stuff in my hands, and the fire alarm went off in the shop. And we got all ushered towards exit at the back door and all sort of went out the back door, and me just following and not realising that I should put this stuff down, I walked out the back door with everything in my hands.
Well, that's fair. And that's payment for the trauma that they put you through.
Yeah. I love that too. In a fire, they always like, don't even take your handbag. Leave all your luggage behind, guys. But you're like, oh, I'll just grab some of this stationery.
He's the Aussie singer-songwriter who's gone from sleeping in a mate's car in LA to working with Demi Lovato and racking up almost a billion streams of his work. This year, he's ARIA nominated and has a new single out, Hopeless Romantic. Please welcome Sam Fisher.
Yeah, the new single is Hopeless Romantic, available everywhere now. To vote for Sam in the ARIA Song of the Year Awards, head to aria.com.au. Now, Sam joins us. I just need to say something just quickly. He joins us on Zoom right now, so I can see you. And as that opener, that little bit of audio and everything that we just played out to introduce him played out, mate, I saw you put your hand to your forehead and kind of like a, oh, God.
I know. Oh. It's not like it.
What was it?
No, I loved it. It's a disbelief thing. Like, you also have billion. That's million with a B. You know what I mean? Like, that is such an aggressive number. It's just really cool. I don't know. Sorry, next time I'll be here being like, you know what? That's right. I can read it out.
No, that's cool. Like, that to me says everything about you. Yeah. That you're, you know, down to earth and you appreciate exactly what's happening to you right now.
Of course, are you kidding? This is insane. I mean, like, when I found out I got nominated for another ARIA award, you know, I was all right with being an ARIA losing artist. And now to have the chance of being an ARIA winning one is so aggressive. But like, I had just taken a sleeping pill when I found out. So I was like, my body's like trying to put me to bed. My mind's freaking out. I think my first response to my publicist was, why? And it's pretty cool.
It's very cool. And also, like, I just find your story really interesting, you know, that the story of everybody going to LA and trying to make it big and the difficulties to get there. But one of the funny things that I found about your background was the incredible music influences that you got from your parents. Sounds like they were real music people with three albums in the house. And the three albums that they were pretty outstanding.
Yeah, not bad, hey? Bit of Whitney, bit of Michael, bit of Sundance Rock.
The Bodyguard soundtrack of all things.
All he needs a little I Have Nothing and that's it, you know?
I'm also intrigued by those albums because the third one that just gets mentioned is a compilation album. I grew up at a time where the compilation album was the best thing you could have, and one was called Ripper. And it had a girl's butt cheek with the jeans ripped off with the songs written on the butt cheek. That was the compilation album.
Wow, that is honestly inspiration for when I eventually am washed up doing a greatest hits album.
Hey, mate, you know, there's all these things that you read about you and, you know, playing violin when you were three and saxophone when you were 10. But the one that got me was writing songs at 12. And the reason being is because I think to myself, what are you writing passionately about at 12 years old when it comes to writing a song?
I wish that I had like this unbelievably poetic answer for you where I'm just this boy genius. But I'm telling you, I was a simple kid. I started writing songs because my parents refused to buy me more albums. I got one album. It was Human Nature's album. And I...
I think everybody got that album at some point.
Come on. It was my first album. Loved it, listened to all the songs. And then obviously I was like, well, now I want another album. I finished this album. And they were like, until you have learned every single song in that album, we're not going to buy you another album. And so I was like, well, if you're not going to buy me another album, I'm going to start writing my own songs and listen to them.
Hey, mate, just quickly before we let you go, you get Song of the Year for the ARIAs. Good luck for it. But if you win, who are you thanking on stage?
Oh, my goodness. I guess, you know, good old Demi Lovato, casually, my mum and my wife, my manager and my team and all the people you're supposed to thank. And then you guys.
Okay.
And God.
All right, hang on. No, you said it out loud. I want to see you win that, and I want to see you say on stage, I'd also like to thank Pete, Matt, and Kimber from Mix 94.5.
No. In
yes, I do.
He's going to forget, and it's going to end up saying Pete, Matt, and Camber or something weird. My name's going to be weird. I know it is.
Pete, Matt, and Camber.
Pete, Matt, and Kimber. I love things on a stick. At the best of times.
Uh-huh.
Like just, you know, things where there's no mess, there's no plates, there's nothing.
Satay. Like
satay sticks.
Love a satay stick.
Shish kebabs. Oh. Ice creams and icy. Because you can just pick it up and it's just all there. Yeah. And you can just, bang, just get into it without any mess or fuss.
Not everything is great on a stick though, Pete.
This little procedure is called... making a head on a stick.
Right.
Oh, okay. Just okay.
Wanted to throw to John Jarrett there and we'll break.
Now, God, that went dark. Now, hey, Liz, my wife, brought home something yesterday on a stick.
On a stick.
That has absolutely changed my life because I have not had this, I reckon, for close to 20 years. Mm. Guys, I give you Viennetta on a stick.
Streets Viennetta could leave you with one small problem. One slice is never enough. Streets Viennetta, now also available in new mint flavour.
Viennetta.
Did you hear it as it cracked through the Viennetta?
Oh, my God.
That sound at the start?
Yeah, the... oh.
When I was growing up, Viennetta seemed unachievable.
Yeah.
It was a dessert that rich people would have. I mean, we came from a household that, you know, a dessert was kind of vanilla ice cream with a sprinkle of Milo on it.
Mm-hmm.
That was an exotic dessert. Mm-hmm. So Viennetta was next level.
Well, it only ever came out at the fancy parties.
Yes.
And I don't know if it's because, like in that ad, for those of you listening to that, if you remember that, but if you've never seen that ad before, check it out on YouTube. They serve the Viennetta in that ad. In these crystal glasses.
Yeah, like
you know,
a champagne-y kind of looking. Yeah.
Right? And
I would never do that, Pete. It's not enough ice cream. If you have to fit it in a glass, your serving's not big enough.
But I remember as a kid watching that ad and thinking the exact same thing as you just mentioned, Maddie. And maybe that was the influence. Like, you know, because it was only ever at the good parties that the Viennetta would come out. The big birthdays, you know, the big Christmas parties or the big family dinner, like that sort of stuff where the Viennetta would come out. And so would the good cutlery.
Yes.
His mum and dad at home have, they've got a wall unit. You don't hear that these days. They've got a big Jarrah wall unit with all of the nice glasses and the nice cutlery and the nice dishes and stuff that only ever makes it out when the Queen's coming over to visit. Mm. That's the sort of stuff that the Viennetta would be served in.
We never even had that. Well, Viennetta we didn't have until I was about 18, I reckon, and my boyfriend at the time came over for dinner and my mum bought Viennetta. And ooh, suddenly every time my boyfriend came over for dinner, we had Viennetta and my dad was like, I guess that's the sign that your mum has accepted him.
Okay.
It was like, because we hadn't had Viennetta ever and suddenly we're like, who's this guy? He brings, like, we get Viennetta when he's around.
He's
like,
a keeper.
Yeah, I dated him for 7 years just for the ice cream. Let's talk letters and numbers. Not numbers. Wrong bit.
That's wrong words. Letters.
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 Words. I don't know anything about numbers, you know that.
Let us do that, Kimber.
The Australian National University has announced its word of the year.
Okay.
And it's been inspired by the pandemic.
Of course. No surprise.
It's sort of like the Oxford English Dictionary and the National Dictionary Centre get together with these guys and go, what's the word that we need to add?
Mm-hmm.
What's everybody talking about? And the word that's going in this year, stroll out. I'd never even heard of it.
No, I haven't.
Heard anyone say stroll out?
No.
Stroll
like take
out.
A walk, to go for a walk?
Stroll out. It's in regard to the federal government's delayed vaccine rollout. And because ScoMo famously said it's not a race, and it's been coined by the ACTU, so the Australian Council Trade Union's boss, Sally McManus.
Oh, yeah, I like Sally.
She did a post on Twitter that was like, this is more like a stroll out. And then here we are. That's the word that's been taken.
I've never heard of her. I've never heard of that union. And I've never heard of this word.
Well,
so who has done this?
It made it international, Pete. The Washington Post ran a headline that was called Australia's Vaccine Strollout.
Oh.
It was everywhere. Last year, the word was ISO, which was the most popular word of the year, ISO. Yeah. But apparently linguists have been collecting several hundred words around the pandemic, this is the time that everyone's just going crazy making up words. And they're saying the next edition in 2023, which is, I mean, beyond, rumoured to add double vaxxed. The term double vaxxed, because nobody outside of Australia says that.
No.
Because it's not double vaxxed, is it?
No, you can only be vaccinated once.
Yeah, like you're
double jabbed.
But double vaxxed isn't a thing. And Australians have been doing the I'm double vaxxed, and the rest of the world are looking at us going, what do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about.
I'll tell you what, the word I hope I never hear again is roadmap.
Oh,
that can get stuffed, well, roadmap, honestly.
And I would dare say they've definitely come up with more words on the East Coast, because apparently they're suggesting that we use the words half-sonated or full-sonated.
No, we don't.
When you're getting...
No, we don't.
Instead of double-vaxxed. Oh, half-sonated or full-sonated.
That's funny. I like that.
Have faith.
Believe. We must have faith.
Ooh, I gotta have faith.
Do not lose your hope.
Maddie's up today, and we've got Siobhan in Ardross. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you going this morning, Siobhan?
I'm great, thanks.
Yeah,
How about you guys?
Oh, we're great. What do you do for a living?
I'm a teacher.
I can't let down a teacher.
Oh, that'll be rough, won't it?
Yeah. Hi, Siobhan, it's Matt.
Hi, Matt.
I'm going to do my best.
He's heading out of the room, and we're going to give you the category today. For what Matt's question will be about. And all you have to do is tell us whether you have faith in him knowing it or not. If you have faith in him and he gets it correct, you'll win the prize. If he stuffs it up, you'll get nothing. Or if you say, I've got no faith in Matt, he won't know it, and he gets it wrong, you win.
Okay.
Now, Pete, the category.
Something that apparently Matt has become quite accustomed to lately. Food is his category, Siobhan.
Look, I think he'll get this one.
You reckon?
This
he's
sure.
going to hate that we sell it like that, but that he's become familiar and with food.
I think he's going to be shooing with this.
Okay.
All right. Okay, he's back in. He's back in.
We are not telling him whether you believe in him or not.
Okay.
He has returned.
Hi, Maddie.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Hi, Siobhan.
Okay, Pete.
Now, Maddie,
yes.
Just something that we feel, you know, through your own admission and through observation, that that you've become a bit of an expert on lately. Food is your category today.
Okay.
He's keeping a really straight face.
Really straight face.
You know, just a bit of pain at the moment.
Okay. Your question today, Matt.
Okay.
Which is the only edible food that never goes bad?
Wow.
The only edible food that never goes bad.
It's a Big Mac, isn't it?
let's just say that it can be a very, well, infinity years later, you could still eat it.
Infinity years? Like, that sounds like a long time.
It never goes bad. I mean, a Big Mac, I would suggest you wouldn't want to eat it after it had been out more than a couple of hours.
I mean, you know, first thing I'm thinking of is the things that we used as preservatives back in the day, which was either sugar or salt.
Mm-hmm. Just out of curiosity, Siobhan, would you have known the answer to this? Don't give it away, but do you know?
I actually don't think I do. I've got some ideas, but I don't think I do.
Mm. Might be able to use this with the primary school kids later. Mm.
Yeah.
Do you think I'm on the right track? No, you can't. May I ask?
We may not give answers.
But so could it be a spice? It could be anything like that, right?
It could be anything, but it is definitely edible.
Give me the question again.
Which is the only edible food that never goes bad?
Oh, I think it might be honey.
I've got
a feeling that honey never goes off.
Siobhan, having heard that, how do you feel about the answer to that question?
Maybe, yeah. Didn't think of that.
I've got a feeling that it doesn't go off. Anything else will be a guess, and that's a guess too, but... You know, it's got the sugar, so it's using that element that, you know, we know is used as a preservative.
And it kind of crystallises, I suppose.
Yeah. Look, I haven't got anything else, so I'm going to go with honey.
All right. The answer that you're locking in is honey.
Mm.
Well, we can tell you that the answer of honey is correct.
Oh, well done, buddy.
Well done.
Take that, joggers.
A few little quirky...
When I was out there, joggers went, I don't have faith in you this morning.
Well, some quirky facts about the honey. It's got a very low moisture content, mm-hmm. which prevents it from being able to go bad.
Just like me.
Because bacteria can't survive.
Mm-hmm.
And bees add their enzymes, which helps to preserve it.
Mm-hmm.
And archaeologists found 3,000-year-old honey while excavating tombs in Egypt, and it was perfectly edible.
Yes, I did hear about that. I think it was West Kobe.
Yeah, 3,000 years of West Kobe. Definitely.
Well, you better check I got it right. But Siobhan, did you have faith in me?
I did.
You're a legend.
Sweet prize for you, Siobhan.
Yeah, you got $150 credit for Mover, Siobhan, Australia's fair ride share. You can download the app today, M-O-O-V-R, with all of those parties coming up over Chrissy and whatnot, no surge pricing. That is a lot of money for you to get that sorted for yourself, okay?
Awesome. Oh, thank you. Thanks, Maddie.
My pleasure, my dear.
It's
Have a great day.
He is celebrating his win over here, don't worry. There's some fist pumping going on.
Look, I don't like to think that I'm so self-obsessed that I don't have an interest in other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know I'm self-obsessed. I know that. You know, no one needs to tell me that. If I walk past any reflective surface, I'm going to take a look and just check out what's going on with the moo-moo. But I do need to pay more attention, particularly to my beautiful wife.
The first time ever I saw.
Now, this started as a bit of a joke, but it's possibly got beyond that. My wife loves changing her hair.
She has had quite a few hairstyles over the years.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about the salon. It's not like she goes to the salon every day. Often I'll get home and there'll be hair in the butt. Like, she'll do it herself.
Yep.
She'll colour it. Like, there's lots of colours with it. So it can, I can walk in the door and it can be purple.
Mm.
I never noticed.
Oh, mate, you're not alone in this.
What do you mean?
But she's had such funky cuts. Like, every time she's had her hair done, I've noticed.
Well, this is the point. I mean, I know my wife's beautiful. I feel very lucky, and some would say I'm punching above my weight to be with her. But you know, she can completely change her hair, and I and it's not until she says, hello, that I go, oh, yeah, right, that looks awesome.
Wow.
It's never...
So, okay, so clearly this is like, happened, what, in the last...
A lot.
Yeah, but like the last couple of days, what's brought this up? Is it come to a head finally?
Well, yes, just that, you know, it's been happening so often and it's just getting a bit ridiculous now.
I mean, I get it if you don't recognise a trim. You know, if I get a little short haircut, I don't expect my partner to recognise it. But like, are we talking like a decent sort of cut or colour or something pretty obvious?
Well, I would think so. Yes.
So what is it that you're not paying attention or it's that you just...
I don't know. I didn't know it was going to become a third degree. I just thought it was funny.
You need to explain yourself.
I do, don't I?
Well, I get this with Liz's eyebrows.
Ah,
so
okay.
If Liz does, if Liz has her eyebrows done, there's been a few times where she'll sort of walk in and she'll just sort of stand there.
Yes.
Oh, and just come on. Wait. She's not expecting you to realise that she's had her eyebrows done. That's too far.
No, it's a thing.
No, I'm not backing that one in.
Why?
That's silly. That's eyebrows, man. Like, no one notices that.
Does Liz get them threaded? Is that what they call it?
It's not threaded.
No.
No, like the, I don't even know what you call it.
Tweezing.
Oh, geez. Sometimes
waxing.
They're purple, sometimes they're red, sometimes they're, no, I'm just kidding. Is it tinted? Is that what you said?
Yeah,
tinted. Yeah. Yeah, tinted.
Okay.
So I should notice because, you know, there's the sort of tint there and thing, but...
The thing with good eyebrows is that good eyebrows are meant to fade into your face. They're not meant to be, like, really standout caterpillars, so you shouldn't notice her eyebrows. In fact, I would say you're doing the right thing by not noticing them.
Okay.
And
well,
the
that's
hair
what I reckon.
Thing, Maddie.
To be fair, though, my brother shaved his head and I didn't notice. So, you know, I mean, at least I'm consistent.
To hear Pete, Matt and Kimber for longer, listen to another one of their podcasts. And to swim warmer for longer, get an Elite pool cover. Mix 94.